Okay. So let's try to do this as best we can.
No.
So the guys have been asking me to give a little bit of an elevator speech about Emunah. What's an elevator speech? So everybody that's in the workforce knows about an elevator speech. Meaning everybody knows you should have to be able to sell yourself in 30 seconds or less. If you happen to be in the elevator with a potential client, with someone, a big guy in the firm, and you have to be able to sell yourself in 30 seconds. It's true. That's part of life. You have to be able to sell yourself in 30 seconds. You have to be able to formulate in your own mind to be able to give on the spot, to be able to give a concise presentation of who you are and what you are in your essence and what value you contribute, what good you bring, and why it's worth to hire me, why I should be a client, why you should pay me, whatever it is. It's standard fare. Guys, just join us for this. It's a very important discussion. It's standard fare in the business world. And everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Right? So, okay. So, does the Torah believe in that? Yeah, we know the Torah believes in that. Do we know the Torah believes in an elevator speech? Who is the classic person that gave the elevator speech? Interesting, Yonah, he does give the elevator speech when he says, "Ivri Anochi Ves Hashem Ani Yoreh." I'm a Hebrew and I fear God. I'm a Jew and I fear God. Noach, interesting, Ish Tzadik. Yeah, I was a Tzadik, so you know, it's right to the point. I'm sorry, Aaron. Yeah, go ahead. What was Aaron come to mind?
With the
Aaron Abdul. Oh, okay.
I was thinking with the stick in the
base of Migdal.
Not the base of Migdal.
In the Mishkan, right? Gets the point right away. Yeah.
Moshe
goes to Paro. I like that one.
Yes,
well, let me just one second. The Moshe goes to Paro. He has to give a 30-second speech. Paro's not interested in listening to a whole 2-hour speech. Get to the point. Right? This year, we know that. We know that. Guys, can we close? Let's close the lab test. I want you to get some buy-in here. So one of the guys today, very fairly, asked me for Al Regalachas. That's a fair. Who's this famous story? He had to teach Torah on one, the whole Torah on one foot.
Hillel,
know that. You know that about Hillel and Shammai. You know that. Of course. So it's Hillel that Hillel is able to articulate the whole Torah on one foot, right? Which of course is that which you don't like, don't do to somebody else. It's basically respect. He's right. That's what Torah is. Torah is respect to Hashem, respect to other people, respect to yourself. Somebody asks you what Judaism here. They tell you Christianity is all about love. What's Judaism all about? You give your elevator speeches. It's all respect about Hashem. It's respect for Hashem. It's respect for other people. Respect for yourself. And you respect for yourself. Respect for others. Respect for Hashem. It all goes. It's all a cycle. It's an all good, healthy, continuous cycle. Okay. Good. Beautiful. Okay. Now, once you have that, then you can have love. Because love other people, love yourself, love Hashem. It all works out very, very well. Good. So what about Emunah? So today is a big thing. So today, especially, in the Yeshiva High School. Now, I was saying to somebody before, one of our students, I think that that the battle for Jewish survival is going on in TABC and in every Yeshiva High School every single day. It's literally the battle for Jewish survival because. And let's be honest here. You guys are the Rebbe's really realized this, that basically, we hope that we try our best, to teach you in an organized, disciplined way with some accountability, but also in a way that you find it attractive so that you're going to want to continue it for the next generation. That's ultimately where we're heading with this. We want you to be inspired to be able to continue for the next generation. Because if you're not inspired to continue to the next generation, you haven't succeeded in that, in inspiring you, or if you haven't inspired yourself, it's not going to continue. So the battle for Jewish survival goes on in the Yeshiva. The battle is right here. This is the big battle. It's not over rescuing the unaffiliated Jews or this Jew. Because we are the ones that the Orthodox community, that's the only community that's growing today, and this is where the battle line is taking place. The battle for Jewish survival is right here. It's right here in the Yeshiva High School, especially the 11th and 12th grades. When you grab 12th grades, that's when you really you're thinking, you're formulating and really establishing what your personality is. So it's very, very important. So on that light, so what's an elevator speech about why should I believe in Judaism? In other words, you have a Muslim grows up as a Muslim, yeah, he's a devout Muslim, and a Christian is a Christian. Why should I believe in Judaism just because my parents are Jews? I have to be locked in to be a Jew, right?
You didn't have a say
in it. Nobody asked you, so now you're becoming an adult. So at the end of the day, you're all going to make this decision. Are you going to continue or are you not going to continue? That's really the question.
It's a question. That you're about.
Yeah.
So, I think part of the problem is, when people think, I have a Muna, there's so many things that, go against it, logic, and stuff you, see, our net. Like scientists prove, the world, existed, for billions of years.
Scientists.
Stuff like that. That's, what, pushes back against it, I feel like.
Okay. Okay. So we discuss about science. Sorry, I used to give a whole seminar here on science and Torah for
years.
Yeah, it's okay.
Thousands.
Why would Hashem have reason not to believe if Hashem wants us to believe?
Because Hashem wants to give us a choice.
Hashem doesn't want every single person in the world to be a Jew.
You have to have a choice. Hashem doesn't want obedience, he wants a relationship. You hear what I'm saying? He doesn't want robots. He wants people to make a choice. You understand? It's a big thing. So, we could talk more about Torah and science. There's plenty about this. So, right.
Do you have a book on that?
I do. Okay, so I wrote a whole book called Reason to Believe, where basically, which I published, I think it was 2-3 years ago.
In stores now.
We have it here in the base medrash. If you don't want to buy one, I'm not coming to promote the book. But basically, it's
I can get one.
Yeah, being my neighbor, you can get one.
Yes.
You can rent it. Right, that's right. You can rent it. Thank you. If you want to really get involved, you can look at my book. There are plenty of other books that talk about reason to believe. As the book's called, explanations for this. But you guys want to hear, and it's natural you want to hear. Get to the point. Give me a good, solid, quick point. So let's see if we can get some quick points. So what's the difference between who can give me a succinct difference? Summary between Judaism and every other religion. What sets us apart from every other religion? Many of you probably heard this from me 5,000 times. So if I don't call on call on Jason Bick now, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay, so I'll give you a call. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Plus he has a biggest smile on his face.
Two things that are different. One that a really small number, and another one is that our religion, unlike a lot of other religions, were created off of a lot of people saying something.
Okay, so that's the right case. They're already getting
it.
And
this is
the big difference between us and everyone is like this. Is that every other religion begins you've probably heard this 3,000 times from me, right? One person speaks to God, says, God heard me speak, and that's how the religion gets started, right? And we are, as you've heard me say, the mass many times, the mass revelation, the only ones that the only people that claim that we are the biological descendants of the people who experienced the mass revelation. In other words, it's not just from the book. It's not because we don't just believe it because it's in the book. We believe it because we have our parents, and our grandparents and our ancestors, generation to generation, saying, yeah, we're the descendants of those people. That's why we have a Seder. That's why we have a Shavuos. That's why we have a Sukkot. We are the people. It's not just from the book.
Also, Jews are very stubborn.
That's also true. You probably heard me say that as well. That's right. We're not easy. We're not an easy people to convince. There's a lot to talk about. But I want to emphasize this. We are the companion book of the Torah. We cannot emphasize this enough. Everybody in this room, we all are the companion volume of the Torah. To say it's not just the book. It comes with a companion volume. It comes with the Torah Shebaal Peh, with an oral law. And who's the oral law? We're the oral law. We're the
Minhagim
Mesorah. The Minhagim Mesorah. It's the Torah Shvapeh. We are part of the Torah. You have to understand. It's very, very important. You can't just have the Torah with the Torah in the book. It's not enough. You need a Jewish people. You need a Jewish people.
Yeah.
It's very, very okay. So that's our elevator answer for the first thing. Okay, just add one point, and then I'm going to give you the floor.
Really good point.
Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I just want to add, and I'm going to the floor is yours. So to say that. One just added, but what's the problem with one person saying, I spoke to God. Here. Because I could do this also. I could say, last night, I spoke to God, you know, and I'll start a new religion called Jactorism. Would you believe me?
God,
no. Why should you believe? Why in the world should you believe one person? What supports you?
But if you have 3 million people, thank you for your kind words.
3 million people experience Har Sinai. 600,000 males between 20 and 60. The females, add the below 20, add the over 60, right? And you got the around 3 million, 2-3 million. 2-3 million people experience the revelation. We're all saying it. We've all passed it down for generations now for 3,000 years. So that's the first step. That's the first step in our elevator speech about Judaism. This is a succinct. What's it? Two words. Mass revelation. No one else has.
Isn't the entirety of Mormonism based on a guide from magical voices?
One person.
You can find magical
one person. One person.
You don't believe in magic?
Oh, you're saying one person is less reliable than a whole.
One person has zero credibility. If I said last night, Avram Glatter, if you come in tomorrow morning to school, God spoke to me last night, and I'm starting a new religion called Glatterism, right?
Yeah.
And that is.
I don't think one person in the whole world.
Everybody has to come to 312 Churchill Road three times a year and come in front of the house and bow down to it. So says God. If you came and started a religion tomorrow, no one's going to believe you because you have zero credibility. It's a bit. It's a whole other thing. It's a million, 3 million people experienced it. Okay. Yeah.
Isn't that a really good point to prove that Judaism hasn't been there for like so long? And it feels that the fact that we have so many different culture people have different minhagim. Like, if it was more of a new religion and like people forgot things and just start making up new things, I feel like we would have a lot less like variations on the way to.
The fact that
our religion is so old and so spread out, and we have so many different ways to do things, is a really like strong proof.
Yeah, I think that's a deep thought. I think the differences in our minhagim are our strength, but on the other hand, the fact that the core is the same, the fact that if you would walk into the Sephardic minyan tomorrow morning, you'd be able to get it because
there's
a different spin on the same thing. One of my favorite stories was.
I don't worry that there's a million different opinions. I think it would be simple and easy. If there's one opinion, all the Jews follow that opinion, there's a million different things.
That's right. Aaron got it right. In other words, different people can find different things. I wouldn't say everything, but on a lot of things. But a lot that's part of the ritual.
That's
part of the ritual.
Eating meat after milk, if you're able to wait an hour.
That's not a big thing.
I know, but if you're able to wait an hour, that means you do wait 6 hours, you may wait an hour.
It gives you flexibility. The fact that there is, the fact that Gemara is vague,
it's still okay.
It's important to give you the flexibility. So if someone is sick and has a system need, there's flexibility. It's important. It's good to have the flexibility. Again, one of my favorite stories was, and I love to tell it, for someone I was Masada Kedushin for Thursday night, Ben Benson, that you know from the all the brothers.
He's Binyamin Zadeh.
Binyamin Zadeh means son of Binyamin. So they had to Americanize. They all became doctors. So to be called Dr. Binyamin Zadeh in an American hospital, not going to work out so well. So they just changed it to Benson because that works better. You're going to be in a hospital. So you work in a hospital. So it's Benson, Binyamin Zadeh. You get it.
No,
it's a brilliant idea. What's that?
Do you also have that difference between like Catholic, like different types of it.
What's, I hear.
I don't know.
But one of my favorite stories was when Binyamin, when he came to America. I remember it was a whole big deal. He came to America. He came to TABC for the first time, and Rabbi Adler made a big announcement. We have a family that just came from Iran, and they and those days we didn't have. You weren't born in Iran. You were born here.
They came in here.
Teenagers that they came into the school. And imagine, remember these, remember Jews in Iran were there in Persia. Remember that's what Purim is in Persia. And they've been living in Persia for 2,500 years, thousands of miles away from most of the Jews. And Syrian Jews not too far, you know, but pretty far. And Binyamin comes to school. We didn't have a Sfarad Binyan in those days. And he comes to Ashkenazic Davin. Never experienced an Ashkenazic Davin before he comes in here. I asked him about 2 years after he came in for the first day. I said to him, how long did it take you to get adjusted to the Ashkenazi Minagim? How long do you think it takes?
3 days. It took a week.
Right, basically. In other words, because why? It's all the spin on the same thing. We've all kept the Masorah. That's a very important thing. Very important. I love telling that story. Which means as follows. Our ancestors have kept the Masorah, so we have to keep the Masorah. Our ancestors have kept the Masorah, so we have to keep the Masorah. It's very, very important. We have to pass that what has been passed down to us faithfully. We have to continue passing down to our children and grandchildren very faithfully. Now let's go to the second question that they were saying. Okay. So the Judaism is... I'm sorry. Or another indication why... Why? Yeah?
Is the fact that we have more than one person and all the other religions have one person that had like witnessed another religion, I guess, is that like a backup point for the fact that we're required to have two idioms?
Interesting. Correct. Because one person has zero credibility. That's correct. Yeah. More people. And we have Tamam and Harsin, we have 3 million Aiden. Now let's go to another point. How do we know that this book, where do you know, why should we believe this book is being from God?
Because Moshe literally wrote it with Hashem.
I would suggest that it's more than just something you just have to believe because your parents told you have to believe it. I would say it's because the book says you have to believe it.
You can prove it.
I don't like to use the word proof. But I could, because
I
would
say
why I believe it. I can explain to you.
Converted because he wasn't getting answers. Like, it's good that we have the ability.
That's right. So I will share with you what convinces me, and you decide whether it convinces you. That's what I'm going to do. I'll share you what convinces me. And remember, I didn't grow up. I didn't start religious. We became religious. So let me share with you what convinces me. Or what's besides the 3 million witnesses, is the fact that the Torah makes predictions of things, as we were talking about this morning. The Torah makes predictions of things that never should have happened. Never should have happened. Give an example. Torah says the Jewish people are going to be exiled. Right? We know that. It's going to be exiled, and all of a sudden you're going to go back. Right here. Makes predictions. The day is going to come. You're going to be exiled all over the world. All over the world, it says. And it says, the day is going to come. You're going to come back. That's pretty remarkable. To say you're going to go. You're going to go. Right? You're going to be exiled and you're going to come back. Now, the reason why that's so remarkable, because that shouldn't happen. It's predicting something that shouldn't happen. It should not happen that people are exiled and they come back. Because normally, human nature is that when you're exiled, you fit into the people that you...
Assimilate.
What's that? You assimilate.
But that has happened.
Of course. Among some Jews, of course, and amongst many Jews, unfortunately. But as a whole, the Torah doesn't promise every Jew is going to come back. But it says as a whole...
Whatever somebody says...
All the ones that... It says as a whole...
that, you know, the Jewish people are going to return, and we see that happening in our day. We see the Jewish people were exiled and coming back to Israel. Exiled and coming back to Israel. It's predicted. There's more. There's plenty more. One that stands up, that another that should never happen is the Torah says,
Whenever somebody asks me about this and they don't know, I always say that.
What's that?
Whenever somebody says, like, how do we know? I always say, I always use that example. Like, it's impossible to predict something that happened in, 3 million years.
That's right.
That's
right. Can I give you another one that convinces me? And then maybe we'll bring Rabbi Adler into the discussion also. The Torah predicts that the Jewish people are going to be a small nation. Atem hama'at yikol ha'amim, right? It also predicts v'yei bracha. You're going to bring bracha to the whole world. So Torah predicts that we're going to be a small people that brings bracha to the whole world. That's a contradictory bracha. That doesn't make any sense. If you can say you're going to be a people that... What's that?
For no reason.
Torah says that also. Torah says that also, that we're not going to be... Look at the Tochacha. It says we ain't going to be ranked number one on the popularity. So, I'm sorry? It's part of it. But a tiny people, a hated people, that are going to bring bracha to the whole world. Can anybody give me, one tiny example of how we bring bracha to the whole world? Simple. I want elevator speeches. A Hillel speech. Yeah, how do we bring bracha to the whole world? How do Jewish people bring bracha to the whole world?
The country of Israel, which is majority Jews, bring most of the Nobel Peace Prizes home.
A good chunk. 25%. 25% of Jews that know 25% of Nobel. Right?
Wait, what is it?
It's such a small country in the world compared to all these giant powerhouses.
Right?
And we have a quarter of all the prizes.
What's the biggest bracha that Israel brings 20%. To the world? Brings to the world? The water. What you said with the water. The water is the biggest thing.
So many things. Every time there's an earthquake.
They come right away. They set up that medical hospital.
But the masks, today, there is going to be a shortage of masks in this, in the next couple of, everybody's buying masks.
Yeah, Amazon China.
In China and all over the rest of the world, wherever there's any trace of the coronavirus. So a guy in Israel said, we have the most effective virus mask in the world. It's not the regular look, ones that you put on your mouth. It looks like it, but it has radio... it has electromagnetic field emanating from it, and what it does is it kills every single virus in the world. Every 99% and definitively will kill the coronavirus. Definitively. So Israel now started exporting that to China.
And now what in the world does that have to do with Amunah? So let me share with you this. Let me try to bring it home. What it has to do with the moon? The reason why I think this has to do with the moon is like this: to look at all these contributions that Israel made, it's abnormal. It is beyond abnormal to see how the contributions that Israel makes. It's not natural. You look at the sea and what's coming out from Israel. It's not normal, gentlemen. You look at it and you see the business successes. You see all the science that's coming out. It's not normal why this is happening. There are all kinds of explanations why it's happening. And to my mind, it's because of the bracha that Hashem gave. A tiny people, a hated people, who are going to bring bracha to the whole world. It shouldn't happen this way.
Also, every big civilization, most big civilizations, have Jewish influence.
Okay, and that also brings a bracha to it.
Like when I went to the Vatican, like there was a ton of like Jewish stuff there.
Right, the positive values that they have come from the Torah. It's another way the bracha.
We literally created Christianity.
There's a church present.
Right, but I want to get back. But one more prediction. One more prediction is that the Torah again says these people are going to last forever. We are called in the Tanakh as the Am LaNetzach, as a people that are forever. And now the same Torah says we're going to be an Am LaNetzach. We're going to be a people forever who are going to be persecuted. Now that's ridiculous. That's contradictory. It's going to predict that you're going to be a people who are going to be persecuted. People who are going to be, and they're going to be forever. That's unbelievable. I hate it. People, persecuted people who are going to be around forever. It should not be. The Torah, it shouldn't be. None of us should be here. You ask, you don't believe in miracles. I keep on harping on Jason's ancestor of Yaakov Emden's statement that the greater miracle of Kriyas Yamsu. You know why I believe in Kriyas Yamsu? Why I believe in Kriyas Yamsu? Because I see a greater miracle. What's a greater miracle here? You have people here.
Wait, can you give us more examples?
I'll give you another example, and then I'll come to something else. When I see students here who are we had the previous class, Zalman Rusinov, Josh Steve. When I see students here. Whose families were in the Soviet Union. These families were for 70 years under communist, what's that? Oh, that's correct. They were under communist rule for 70 years. 70, you realize what that is? 70 years living in a place where if you say the word God, you could be sent to Siberia for 10 years.
And yet,
guys, let's try to keep on track. And yet, despite all that, the people will still have you have Jews, Russian Jews who are here learning Torah. You want to see a real miracle of Jewish survival. I mean, all of us are a miracle of Jewish survival. But if you want to see a Jewish survival on steroids, you just look at any of the students here whose parents or grandparents lived under, and grandparents and great-grandparents lived 70 years under communist China, and they still identify as Jews, and they're sitting and learning Torah here on a high level.
Communist China?
It's unbelievable. Communist Russia, right? These are walking miracles, but we have to pay attention to see it. All these things, it's going to be hard for you to pay attention to. Okay, so but still,
it doesn't matter.
Still.
Also,
the fact that we had a Holocaust 70 years ago, and we are 75 years ago, and we are vibrant today, it doesn't make sense. Let me give you one more example. Yeah, let me give you around the floor. I want to give you around the floor in 1 second. One more. One more example, and I'm going to give you around the floor. Why should I believe? And this is something I think on some level we all get, and I think all Orthodox Jews kind of get this. You know, you read the Torah and you read the story of Avraham Avinu going out with 318 people and going in and defeating the four strong Mesopotamian armies. It seems ridiculous. Why should I believe it's a fairy tale? Why should I believe that? So you know why I believe that? It's very easy to believe it because I see it today. I see it today. I see what happened in Hanukkah. I see what happened in. I see what happened with Israel. It's a ongoing story of Rabin Bad Matin, the few defeating the many. It's
1967.
Right? It's great. It's unbelievable. Right? The study.
We're getting attacked from all sides. Look, in our small.
Look, I find it, and this is why part of having the book. I love reading the history books about. We go into detail the 48 war. You go into details of the 67 war. To my mind, reading these books about the 48 war, the 67 war, is the same as reading Megillas Esther, because you see, wow, this must have been Hashem's crazy things. Never should have happened. This was Hashem It's unbelievable. How you, we're reading Rus, right? We're reading Rus that, just the time that Boaz was entering the field. That's where Rus comes. Rus comes to all kinds of fields, comes to Boaz's field. And when Rus is there, that's when Boaz comes. To put them together. But you see these things here, in April 1st, 1948, Israel, or the Jews in Palestine, actually, Jews in Eretz Israel, it wasn't Israel yet, it was a month and a half before it became a state, month and a half they're being totally decimated, destroyed. And it looks like they're going to be destroyed by the Palestinians because they have so few weapons. All of a sudden, April 1st, when we're at the lowest of the low, all of a sudden at that time, then the decision comes from Stalin, of all people, someone who hated Jews. All of a sudden, for one year, he got in his head he's going to support the Jews, and he gave them arms just at the right time. Just like it was about to be done. It's abnormal. Correct. It's correct. He was psycho in hating us. Rav Moshe said he was worse than Hitler. And yet, he did kill more people. He was right. And yet he is the one, and he hated Jews. For 1 year, just at the right time, he all of a sudden cuts the front of the and supports Jews. It's abnormal. It's abnormal, gentlemen. It's abnormal. It shouldn't happen. It happens. It's a Yad Hashem. Gentlemen, the stories we read here are not fairy tales. They're not fairy tales. Why? They're not fairy tales because, you know what? We experience, it's our story. We know very well that this is our story. Yeah.
Crazy question.
Oh, and then I promise you I'll run the floor. And then after Ezra, yes.
Okay. In like 1,000 years, like if Gog Magog doesn't like get involved.
Yeah.
Like in 1,000 years, do you think same way as we celebrate Purim now, how the Jews were like hated and then they were saved?
Yes.
Do you think that we're going to celebrate the Holocaust?
Yes.
We will?
I guarantee it. Because the Purim, that's the Megillah, is one of the craziest things.
Great question.
The fact that the Megillah, just was about a story how the Jews just narrowly avoided being totally annihilated. And yet it makes a prediction that the most important pasuk of the Megillah is the pasuk that says at the end, people don't pay attention to it, it says that the Jews will always be observing Purim. Jews will always be observing Purim. What a chutzpah to make a prediction like that. The Jews are always going to be observing. The means always going to be around. The Jews are always going to be around. They're always going to be observing Purim. What a chutzpah. How do you mean that's going to be around? What do you mean? How do you know they're going to be around? They just narrowly avoided total annihilation. But that's the point. If it makes such a prediction, and that shouldn't have happened, and it happened, that's a right. But the fact, right? But the fact that it made the prediction. It's that already. This is convinces me, and again, it's what you have to decide. Again, this is the battleground. It's the yeshiva high schools are the battlegrounds, and it's your for the Jewish survival. I think it's every day. All our learning is about Jewish survival, and today, you know, it's just one of the components of what Jewish survival. You know, just to buy it. I did promise.
It's like a one-second thing.
What's that? And I promised your own. Yeah, yeah.
How long do you think it's going to take from being a sad day, like Yom Zikaron, to a happy day?
I'd go outside until Mashiach comes. So that already, the Gemara warns us, don't try to make predictions.
We need good times before we make it.
No, this is a good time for them.
Okay.
It feels like good times, but it's weird.
Okay, it's good and bad. It's good and bad. Yeah. There's good and bad. There's good and good bad going on at the same time. As the Gemara puts it, Orva Choshev Mishtam Shem Beruvuvia, you have light and darkness mixing together, all in a wild mixture. Let's hear from our good friend.
Just another point, like, what do you mean, like Jason asked, like, how can you prove it? Or, like, a lot of times, anyone can tell you their points or their perspective. Like, if you ask someone why they love God, like, you're not going to get the same answer no matter
what. That's true. And you should.
For
right.
A lot of people, some people might not even like have a Emunah. They might just be following blindly.
Yeah.
Like, I was for a while now. Thank God I have like strength in my Emunah. But just the point, like, even when like I like didn't like I had a Emunah and I believed in God, but I didn't like know why I believed in God. So just something that I like realized, even like if I was like I never like doubted God ever existed. I was just like, I didn't know why I believed like. And then, but just something to know that if you're gonna, like, even if you don't want to think about that, just Judaism and, like, having the religion, without religion, life has literally no meaning.
Yeah.
Like, people who say, like, if you look at an atheist, the way they live is, like, vile. Like, it's literally, like, I'm gonna do whatever I want, I have no repercussions, and then when I die, I cease to exist, great, nothingness.
Yeah, no accountability.
Yeah, no accountability, but, like, the beauty of Judaism is that, yeah, we're alive right now, but we're really, this is just, like, the transportation to get from us.
Yeah,
right. That's what you really start to look
and his account, and his accountability.
Yeah, exactly.
And a meaning, right.
Because without death, life has no meaning.
I like what Steve said. Somebody asked Steve, I remember it was in our class, how do you picture God? He said God is like a strict loving, is a loving and demanding father. Yeah. A loving and demanding father. Because he demands and expects you to do good things. He expects and demands you do good things and that are in your best interest. A loving, a strict and demanding father. I like that.
Aaron.
Love that a lot.
Aaron, has
Aaron yes. We'll yeah. Close off with Aaron Achdut.
No, it's fun time.
No, it's not fun. We have
to. Say it.
We love hearing it.
It matters, okay.
We love hearing it. It does matter. Don't underestimate yourself.
Say
we want to close
Aaron.
With Aaron.
Aaron.
Say it.
Aaron.
Say it.
Aaron.
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 Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah,
Aaron.
He never ends.
Mincha, Mincha.
No, Aaron has to say it, then we can just start Mincha.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Fine. All right. Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should help you remember.
Amen.
I want to thank you. This was, I think, you know, I've tried to give these Amuna talks many times, and I think this is one that worked out the best in the 25 years that I've been here. So if you want to post this, I give you actually a chance to post it.
Why are you talking about that?
Yeah, you can put on my YouTube. You can put on my YouTube.
I don't know how to do that on my YouTube.
But just